Good morning and happy Friday. A couple announcements for you as we get started. Is that tomorrow we have a VBS volunteer meeting at the Escondido campus in between services, so during the Bible study hour. And then next week in San Marcos, we'll have a VBS volunteer meeting after service during Bible study hour. And then we have our theater performances happening next weekend, and we have a lot of stuff happening on Sunday. You can sign up for the directory now. Next Sunday, we will have our voters meeting update, talking about that, so a lot going on. And make sure to come to church on Sunday, and you can get even better announcements. With that, let's pray and get started. Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for the word that you have given to us. Please give us discernment as we read it and understand it so that we may know you more in what you have done for us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, so we are going to be in Romans 2, 12 to 29. So picking up at 12, and then we're going to finish out the chapter. And let's get started reading that. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. Verse 24, for as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. All right, so there's kind of a lot going on in this text. A lot of talk about the law. So what is the law? The law is God's word. It's God's expectations for us. He specifically called out the Ten Commandments, right? God's law is all-encompassing in the Ten Commandments. So the Jews have had this law for centuries, right? This law has been passed down. They know it. It for sure is written in their hearts and in their minds. They know this law. And a lot of them raise themselves up to be ones that are keeping the law, where Paul now is talking about, he mentions, he talks about the Jews too, but he mentions the Gentiles who don't have the law, who haven't had the Ten Commandments be passed down, who haven't been instructed to keep that law. Only the Jews have. But I love this part where it says, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts in verse 15. So their hearts understand it. Their conscience understands it. And it makes me think about all those times where maybe we forget the Ten Commandments and yet we might feel guilty about something that we've done. And then later on, we might be like, oh yeah, I was breaking that. There's this understanding of the law. And for those who have never even heard it, right? If you didn't grow up in church, you maybe have heard the Ten Commandments, maybe you've seen it on a billboard, but it hasn't been something taught to you. And yet, there's a lot of people who aren't Christian, but who understand that we aren't perfect. They understand that we're not able to live by even the world's laws. And yet those laws come from God's laws. This has been something that is for God's law is something that is for all people. Whether it has been written on your hearts or whether it has been something instructed and taught to you. So the Gentiles who do not have the law, who have not had the law passed down, they still know the law and they will still be judged by the law. And then Paul kind of lays into the Jews and he talks about how you know the law, you believe that the law is good and excellent, that you have followed the law, that you are an instructor. Verse 20 says that, or verse 19 I like better. You are a guide to the blind. You are a light to those in the darkness. You are the one that people are looking to for how they can uphold the law. You instruct the foolish. You teach the children. You are the embodiment of the law of knowledge and truth. And then Paul says, do you teach yourself? So I think the law can do two things. The law definitely condemns. It's written in our hearts. We understand in our minds. We understand that maybe we can't. We understand that we don't live up to it, that we can't uphold it, that we constantly fall short. But I also think there's times where we look at the law and we think that we're doing a really good job, especially when we compare, right? I think we're all guilty of that. Of maybe not believing that we're perfect in the law, but we're doing a pretty good job about it. I'm following it pretty well. I'm not committing this sin and this sin. I don't have idols. I only worship the one true God. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't gossip about my neighbor more than that person. I think there's always that comparison, that we like to feel pretty good about ourselves. But I think that is whatever the opposite of wisdom is. I think that is very dishonest. And I don't think that it's accurate in any way. I think we just like to feel that way. But the law condemns. We might think that we're doing a pretty good job, but we're not. Because there is someone that we look to who is the perfecter, who does want. So the law, let me collect my thoughts. The law accuses, it condemns. So as we constantly fall short, we fall away from salvation and heaven. Right, because we're constantly falling short. The only way to get into heaven is by fulfilling the law. And we may think that we are, but in fact, we're not. And so we're constantly falling short, even if we think we're doing a pretty good job. There are so many times where we don't even maybe realize it, and we're breaking God's law for our lives. We're falling short. And he's calling out the Jews, and we can call out Christians and say, you have the law. This law has been handed down to you. This law is for all people. So follow it. Jesus summarizes the two laws as love God with all your heart, with all your mind. So how are we serving God? How are we serving him in our words and in our deeds? How are we serving him and making him a priority in our lives? Nothing else. It's God and then everything else. Nothing else comes above God. We do not live a life over God. God is over us. Even to the point of our priorities, he is number one. So am I loving God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my being? Chances are we're not. And we're called to. We're supposed to. Then the second law that Jesus summarizes the commandments in, love your neighbor. How are we loving our neighbor? Are we speaking kindly about our neighbor? Are we uplifting them? Are we helping them get good things instead of taking those good things? Or encouraging them to keep it? Are we serving our neighbor? Are we reaching out to our neighbor? Are we praying for our neighbor? All these things. We might look around and see that we're not. We're constantly falling short. But that's how we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living under the law. We're supposed to be living as witnesses of the law for others. And we constantly fall short. Our praise is not from man, but it's from God. And we can find hope in a text like this, knowing that instead of being far, far away from salvation, through Jesus, we are granted that access. Through Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law, he has given us those gifts so that we can continue to follow the law and follow the law for our neighbor, right? God asks for our good works, not that he needs them, but for our neighbor. But he asks that we do them. He asks that we be a witness so that others may know him, the loving kindness that he has, the forgiveness that he has for us. He is the fulfillment of the law. He has kept every single thing. So when you ask, have I kept this? No. Have I kept this? No. You can see, oh, Jesus kept that. Jesus kept that. Oh, I am in need of a savior, and my savior has fulfilled it for me. So you now are free to go and serve God. You are free to serve your neighbor, not to earn anything from him. Salvation has already been granted through the death of Jesus Christ. Salvation is already given to you, whether you have become a Christian since your first breath or since your dying breath and anywhere in between. Salvation is given to you. Forgiveness is yours. Salvation is yours. So now you can serve God and serve your neighbor. And remember this law. And every time you fall short, remember that God has fulfilled it for you. God has saved you. You are free to serve. You have been judged. I'll wrap up that because it's God's judgment in the law. You have been judged on account of Christ. So when you get to heaven, you will be looked at through the lens of Christ. Not all your failures. But Christ's perfectedness. Pretty fulfilling word to be left on. It started out kind of tough with all the law and how we constantly fall short. But let that be your reminder that you will fall short, and that is why you need Christ, and that's why Christ has come. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that we may be reminded that we are imperfect humans, but you love us and you care for us, and you have given us good things to do to serve you and to serve our neighbor. And we thank you for Christ, that he has come and died on the cross, so as the fulfillment of the law, so that we would be forgiven and saved. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. God's peace. Bye.